Hello and welcome to Sermons from First Press, a weekly podcast from the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Gracious God, may the words of the Scriptures find us with hearts and arms outstretched with yearning and quiet joy. For your word is precious to us as we seek in your name to be faithful people. Fill us now, Holy Spirit, in our hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. The Old Testament reading for today is from Exodus. I will be reading from chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from Paul's epistle to the Romans.
Listen for the word of God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance.
And endurance produces character.
And character produces hope.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die.
But God proves his love for us in that while we were still were sinners, Christ died for us.
Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God.
For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I know that what I am about to say to you will come across as a total shocker, a complete newsflash. Are you ready for this? We have had a lot of snow this winter. Good gracious, we have had so much snow. Over the last few months, at least 3 to 4 times a week, someone from this church or someone from the wider Ann Arbor community will come to me and say, "Renee, it's not usually this bad." I am glad to know that. I think that some of these people genuinely want to reassure me. Others probably want to join in on the humor that this is the first Michigan winter ever for my husband Ian and me. This one, are you kidding me? It's just been crazy. Well, Ian and I grew up on the southern border of Indiana, so we are Michiganders at heart. But they don't have winters like this in southern Indiana. And we've had a total pass over the last 8 years as we've lived in Texas and then California. Now, Texas just has two seasons. Horrifically, obliteratingly hot, and not horrifically, obliteratingly hot. California, meanwhile, is just perpetual spring. And that's great, don't get me wrong. But it can lead to the feeling that there are no seasons at all. So here we are. We are Michiganders now. We are doing what Michiganders do enduring the winter. And it just turns out that our first winter ever is Michigan's worst winter ever. I'd call that quite an initiation. But more seriously, I am joining you in something else as well. Maybe for the first time in my entire life, I have a true appreciation now for the spring. I'm serious. I really do. And I know we haven't reached continual warmth yet, evidence this morning, and I know that there are still piles of residual snow lying around. But over the last few weeks, more and more patches of ground have revealed themselves to us, and we are clearly on the way. Something wonderfully inevitable is coming. Or maybe we might think that we are coming toward it. We are headed towards spring, and it is wonderful. When I was growing up in southern Indiana, I had a pastor who was deeply influential upon my life. David Roth had all sorts of quirky sayings that he liked to voice from time to time. One of them was this: "Remember well and bear in mind that a jaybird's tail sticks out behind." What does that even mean? Fortunately for me, he would often add his own tagline at the end: "There are things we can always count on. Remember well and bear in mind that a jaybird's tail sticks out behind. There are things we can always count on. The jaybird's tail is only going to point in one direction. There are things we can always count on. Spring is one of those things. It is wonderfully inevitable. And it's a great symbol of all that is good in God and the love that is always coming toward us in wonderfully inevitable ways. There are some things we can always count on. As we think about the scripture passage that Nicole and Josh read for us, Paul's letter to the Romans, I wonder if we might think about what sort of words stood out to us today. What words were most memorable for you? What stood out? This passage is filled with beautiful words, words like peace, grace, endurance, character, hope, love, reconciliation. These words are rich with meaning for us. There are also some theological words too, words like justified. That's in the past tense. Justification, that's a theological word that says we have been made right in relationship with God because of God's own loving actions toward us. It's in the past tense. We have been justified, loved, made right in relationship with God and with one another, made whole. And of course, there are other words that might not stand out to us, but they are rich in meaning for us as well. Words like with. Paul says we have peace with God. With. God is with us. With. Have you ever thought about what a wonderful word that is? Or how about through? Paul says that we even boast in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through. We are receiving the love and mercy of God through Jesus Christ, and our lives are reconciled through his very life. One of my very favorite theological words of all is in this passage as well. Now, you will never find it in a theological dictionary or treatise of any kind, but I think it can hang its hat with big concepts like incarnation, atonement, justification, sanctification. I think it can hang its hat with the theological big dogs because it is associated with all of them. It is the first word of our scripture passage today. That word is since. Think about this. Incarnation. Since God has loved us audaciously to the point of becoming human in Jesus Christ, being found in human form, since that is true, our own human lives are redeemed and reconciled in great love. Since. Atonement. Since God has loved us while we were far off, when we were even enemies, and endured death on a cross on our behalf, having loved us the whole journey to and through that cross, since that is true, we are more than our sufferings. We are more than our crosses. Jesus Christ is no longer on that cross, and we aren't either. We are freed to truly live since justification. Since God desires to be with and for all that has been made, and since God desires that we would never be separated from any part of that glorious witness, since that is true, God has taken the entire initiative in love and has made us right with God and one another. Since, or sanctification, since God desires that we know this love personally and that we know it collectively so that our lives are transformed and empowered to serve, since that is true, day by day and moment by moment, we are being made new as holy recreations so that we might serve others and live with the actual love that we have known. Since. It is a glorious word. Friends, God's love is all around us. And since God loves us, that changes everything. This love is wonderfully inevitable. Remember well and bear in mind that a jaybird's tail sticks out behind. There are some things we can always count on. You know, we don't have to keep our noses in any kind of theological dictionary or treatise to know that this is true. That's because this love-filled life change is on display in our very stories. We have met this Jesus, and we are always meeting this Jesus, and that changes everything. It redeems even some of our deepest and darkest places. Because this love is with us, even in our sufferings, even in our deepest and darkest places. This love is with us when we smell our favorite meal or hear a song on the radio and we're suddenly cast back into unexpected feelings of loss. This love is with us even there. This love is with us in our chemotherapy, when we question that we can take any more to move forward in this battle toward health. This love is with us even there. This love is with us when our addictions have chains and they feel like the most powerful thing that is. This love is with us in our depression when we feel like we can't even get out of bed in the morning. This love is with us in our perfectionism, when we strive after achievement to excel, working around the clock, all with the fear that maybe at a moment's notice we might be exposed as being just a little less than. Friends, this love changes everything. It can be with us in all of these moments and more. And none of these deep and dark places are good. They're not good. But even there, God can find us and reconcile our lives and change everything. On Tuesday nights, 70 or so students gather in the Michigan Union for Young Life College. Young Life College is a time of games, music, and a faith message. Some of our students are leading us this morning, and it's great to have them here. During that time, one of our staff leaders will usually give a talk. And hopefully, the words of that talk will address students in their own deep and dark places so that they can know that they're loved and welcomed, so that they can know they have hope. But almost without question, the most powerful moment is not the staff leader's talk. It's when the student leaders talk. Each week, one of our students will give the student story, and that person has an opportunity to share life experiences, how faith has found them and formed them, how they've wrestled with certain questions, how they're still wrestling with certain questions. And as I've witnessed these stories unfolding, and as I have seen their profound gifts for spiritual leadership, I am convinced that this love-filled life change is on display in their very stories. And that's true for you, too. That's true for all of us. My hope is that these students will lead the way as we interact with these stories, revealing to us that we also have stories of great love to share. It is a powerful thing to be in relationship with these people. And so, friends, love, the love of God is wonderfully inevitable. It's coming toward us all the time. Such a silly saying, but I think it points to something too. Friends, remember well, and bear in mind that a blue jay's tail sticks out behind. There are some things we can always count on. This love changes everything. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we are gathered as your people, and we stand in awe of the great love you have given to us. You have made yourself known to us in love, accepting us fully for who we are. But you don't leave any of us where we are. You nurture us into new life and send us forth to share this great love with others. You have given us love in one another. In this room, we are a part of your family of faith. In your love, you bring us together so that we might truly belong. And as we belong to one another, you call us to serve this campus, this city of Ann Arbor, and even the entire world. You have brought us together as people of different ages and backgrounds. You have created each one of us uniquely so that we all have a story to tell. Help us to learn from one another. Help us to serve one another. Above all, help us to love one another and include others into this fellowship you have created. Together, send us sit with those who are grieving. Help us to see their tears and be a safe place to cry. Together, invite us to take risks and welcome those who are different from us. Help us to enter the life stories of others and see your face in those very stories. Together, help us to love and nurture the lives of college students. Help us to trust that we can all learn from one another, that we can be strengthened by the convictions and questions that students bring to faith. Together, unite us as your people, that the world may know we all belong to you, that we all belong to this great love you pour out before us. And now, as your children, united in this love, we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not from temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thanks for worshiping with us. For more information, Visit us on the web at www.firstpresbyterian.org or send an email to info@firstpresbyterian.org. See you next week for another sermon from First Press.